हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 55, is it 55? Where's that? Okay, no, that's on the... Ah, here it is. The Vaishnava philosophy, therefore, recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one can thoroughly study the Vedic instructions. And thus, at the end of life, one can achieve perfection. Right? So the body is used so that you can gain that understanding and knowledge and practice so that at the end of the body, you don't have to take another body. So it's basically like the principle of knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge is like fire. It's burning on the wood. But when the wood's finished, then the use of the knowledge is finished, right? So therefore, the body is there. It has a value as long as the need for it exists. And when the need for it is finished, then there's no need for it anymore. Like that. So then one remembers the Lord, goes back to Godhead, then there actually is no more need. So that's why yukta vairagya means you're using something connected to the Lord. But if we overemphasize the bodily maintenance, like generally yukta vairagya means that. What I'm attached to, what it is like that, I can connect that to Krishna, which is true. But the full point is it should be focused on Krishna. You're starting with that. I'm taking what I'm attached to, connecting to Krishna, and it should become to the point where I'm attached to Krishna, and I'm expressing it through this. Right? So it's not about this. I'm taking this, I'm connecting it to that, but it's about this. But it should come, it's about that, and I'm approaching that or expressing my relationship with that through this. Does that make sense? That's the switch. Like that. So in between, that's, you know, starting with and moving through. So this end is the neophyte, that ends the uttama, and then, you know, as depending upon where you're in the middle, that's the madhyama. Yes.
So this switch basically happens on the stage of bhava.
Yes. But the point is the understanding of that will start in the Madhyama platform. Because that's the whole point. The Madhyama platform means it's clearing stage, where anarthas are reduced to the point where you can actually see with clarity, though the practical application of that may not be up to the standard that one has at the point of bhava, but at least it means the realization is not, but the understanding is there. So by practice it'll get. And so in nishta, then that will be the position, but at ruchi then it starts to go that direction. So basically you could say within the Madhyama platform, the longest stage will be nishta. Because once you come to ruchi, then moving through ruchi, ashakti, that will be, you know, as long as there's no, you know, mad elephant or frets or something, that'll move through more quickly, you know. And then we'll see bhajana kriya, you know, that part, that will be the longest on the lower, is that getting used to it, that removing anarthas and all that when it goes. Because generally, if it's good association, the shraddha comes, you associate with devotees, you take up bhajana kriya. Like before, it was just, basically, you were taking up bhajana kriya immediately, but it was 6 months before you got initiated, like that. So then it's like you're steady enough. So point is, you are following bhajana kriya, but after 6 months, you're steady, so you got initiated. So then you could say the whole process is gone. So then that will take some time. But then Prabhupada basically was expecting that between first initiation and second initiation, that would then you would work out that part and come to nishta. So the idea was the second initiates would be nishta, they'd be fixed in the devotional, they would be steady and everything. You know, very beginning stage, there may be the kanista of the of that of the means. No, but even within nishta, the kanista of that, it means that you would have you would say, yeah, means you, everything's divided by three. So the first stage, you could say the first third of nishta would still have elements of Nartan and Vritti in it. But it's basically on this side. So you could say as you've come into that, from what I've heard is that 60%. The Prabhupada mentioned 75% is nishta. So that would mean the middle part. Right? Then from that, then when you start to get a glimmer of a taste, then that would be that third part. That would bring you into then the beginning of taste, where it's just, you're just getting a taste. And then it comes to the where you seriously have a taste, and then where it goes more, it starts having the qualities of shakti. There's that glimmer of attachment. Then it's just that attachment's just basic. Then it becomes quite strong, and then it goes into, you know, it starts the beginnings of ecstasy. So every stage will have those three. So you can take each of them. Mm-hmm. Yes?
But I was under impression that Anartha Nivritti seems to be the longest of all the processes that we are stuck on.
No, it means all these elements will be there throughout.
Yes.
But what we're talking about is from the amount of Anarthas that are there from when you take up Bhajana Kriya to when you become fixed. Then that section there, you'll get rid of enough that you can become steady. The whole idea is that, is someone steady in their practices or not steady? If they're not steady, that means Anartha Nivritti is more prominent, because it's Anishta Bhakti, right? You understand? So when we say Bhajana Kriya, basically we mean Anishta Bhakti. And so we first take it up, we get used to the process and everything like that. Then having doing the process, then the anarthas will start to be removed. So that's the next stage of Anishta Bhakti. Then when you come to Nishta Bhakti, then it will have Nishta, a Ruchi and a Shakti to it.
But Nishta we are talking about is the steadiness in practice. We don't talk about the taste.
No, because taste is its own category. It's the next category. What we mean is we're able to do it, you know, daily, we're able to be regular, disturbances are minimal. It doesn't mean that they're not there, but they're minimal, because if Prabhupada is saying 75%, that means 25% is still not, what's the 25? That's still anarthas. So that's why when Rupa Goswami describes about the position of, what do you call it? Sarup Siddhi, is that practice is there once you come to Anartha Nivritti. So some will take that means Anartha Nivritti in the nine there, at that level where we would designate it. But what it means here is Anartha Nivritti means there is no more material body or material attachments. So that means you've come to the point where you're on the platform of bhava. That you could say is then, you'd say full Anartha Nivritti for this aspect. You know what I'm saying? But until you come to prema, then you say, no, that's completely Anartha Nivritti. So Shraddha, because Prabhupada, how you say, the basis of this would be where Prabhupada defines prema as mature Shraddha. So in other words, you have the first stage of Shraddha is there, but then, how you say, Sadhu Sangha is the second stage of Shraddha. Bhajana Kriya is the third. Anartha Nivritti is the fourth. Nishta is the fifth. Ruchi is the sixth. Ashakti is the seventh. Bhava is the eighth. And then Prema is the ninth. So like that, each one of them continues on up. Does that make sense? Because your taste gets greater and greater. Your attachment gets greater and greater. So when the attachment is complete, your taste is complete. Your steadiness is complete. Your removal of all unnecessary things is complete. You know, your practice is complete. Your faith in the Vaishnavas and that association complete, and your faith in Krishna. Then it's, all of it's complete. That's called prema. So basically, these nine elements then are just in various things. Because there's some attraction, interest in Krishna. That's why Shraddha's there. but it's not what you, it's not enough what you call it, like on the level of prema. Does that make sense? So all it is that where in which one is prominent in the time in your consciousness. Does that make sense? So like say a person starts Shraddha because it's faith is what's it. He's going, wow, this philosophy that you know is very, you know, very meaningful. They have faith in the devotees, in the books or whatever, in Prabhupada. And then they think, yes, I want to commit myself to that. So it's not that their faith is as great as someone's on the next level, but in their consciousness, that's what's prominent. That's what you can see. The next stage is where they take up the devotees. Their faith is greater. Otherwise, why associate with the devotees? But now the focus is on Sadhu Sangha. Then it goes on to the focus is on Bhajan Kriya. So it's where our consciousness will be, our focus will be through the process. But in each stage, the one before it is, has come up and is in a more mature stage. Is that something else? Mm-hmm. You were saying, yes.
Bhajana Kriya, is that Pancharatrika?
Bhajana Kriya, yes. Because the means, but you'll be steady in your chanting and everything. Yeah. So the what practices of the Bhagavad, what you're doing, but when you practice, when there's regulation in the practices, that's Pancharatra. Because mm-hmm. one has to see is that in the Pancharatra, then it has five angas or five limbs. So the fifth limb is Swadhyaya. So that means that you are, you know, regular hearing and chanting, your japa is regular, you're hearing shastra, you're associating, worshipping Vaishnavas, worshipping Tulsi, taking prasad, worshipping the dog. All these are regulated, so it's happening on a regular basis. Because if, let us say, we just said, chant as much as you can. Mm-hmm. That's all we said.
Yeah.
How much chanting would the average person be doing?
None.
Mm. Yeah.
One round.
That's on, you know, a very enthusiastic day.
Yeah, that's Sunday.
Yes. You know, Sunday, yeah.
You know, the weather's good.
Yeah, yeah. Or not too good.
No. Beach.
Yeah. Not as good as beach, but not enough that you feel miserable and just want to sit there with you're depressed in front of the fire with your cup of tea. Like that. You know? Petting the dog or the cat, whichever one's warmest. Right? Cat is warmer. Okay, yeah. They curl up better like that. Dogs are a bit stiff. They don't sit so
39
well.
39 degrees.
39 degrees?
Yeah.
Wow.
Expert.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like cats, that's why I'm expert.
Okay, because they're too hot.
Exactly why.
I was impressed at the potency. You just went like this this morning, and the cat walked around. You know, this guy meant business. Yeah. Unfortunately, cats are easy not to like.
Yeah,
we were discussing the other day. See, a dog lives in your house, but the cat, you live in their house. So when we say the cat's domesticated, it just means that it's the place where they're staying, it's theirs. Domesticated cat means they allow you to be there also. That's the difference. You know, you think, oh no, but they're living in our house. They're adjusted to you being in the house. That's all. House for them. Open the door, cat will go inside. He's fine with the house. But you coming in the house, now that's a question of whether they're good at that or not. Okay. Did we answer your thing, or did we get distracted by the cat?
No. Bhajana Kriya.
Yes. So all we're saying is that it just takes on another level. So then that Bhajana Kriya, you can say there's Anishta Bhajana Kriya, then it becomes Nishta Bhajana Kriya. But then there's the element of bhava in the Bhajana Kriya. Mm-hmm. Then it comes to prema. Right? Because there's practices, there's things that are done. And so at that point it becomes fully spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that one has to understand how these things move, but otherwise they take it as position. So then people try to overly establish that because it says anartha, then that aspect of raganuga is down at nishta. It means it can start there because there's a prominence of removal of anarthas, but if it doesn't, don't worry, it will start at bhava. But then some artificially try to force it at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so that's so unnecessary.
The two levels of anarchana vritti, we can say anarchana vritti is when nista, that's when the anarchas are out of the gross body, and the swarup siddhi is when the anarchas are out of the subtlety. Can we say it like that?
Yes, you could say like that, but then you still have the subtleties of the karma sharira.
Yeah.
So that's removed in bhava before prema.
Before, yeah.
So basically is until, you could say is just like until anartha nivritti, you don't become steady. At that point you can say now devotion. Now you can say this is solid devotional, pure devotional service. So when one comes to the platform within Shravana Dasa of coming to samadhi, that you could say now those all you that's anartha nivritti,
yeah,
in full.
In full, yeah.
Means it's enough to start the process.
Yeah.
In other words, the swarup siddhi can start,
yeah,
but it's not enough to actually take part
start
in the Lord's pastimes.
No.
Because before that, you're not actually direct interacting with the Lord. You're in Braj, you're in your spiritual body, you're interacting with the devotees of the Lord, the eternal associates. But you're not actually interacting with Radha and Krishna until you get to that point. Does that make sense?
So that point is Vastu Siddhi.
No, Vastu is after that. That's that's the last one. Yes. Yeah, so Sampatidasa or Vastu Siddhi, you'd say they're the same.
So that is given by Krishna himself.
Yes. Then that means is that you're in that position. That's now you've been. Sampatidasa means inherit. You inherit. You know, it's like Prabhupada says, it's the birthright, but now you inherit it. You know, like the son. It's his birthright to take over the estate, but it doesn't become his until it's given. So that means, Smarana Dasa means, you're so absorbed in Krishna that the attachment to Krishna is complete. That's the what's it? What's the word? Purvarag. Yes, complete attachment. Then you're qualified to actually then take part in the pastimes directly. And then in that position, taking part in that, that's your apandas. So when you're caught, then you move from samadhi into apandas, where you're in the pastimes. Being in the pastimes, you come to that point of prema, you know, come to that, then it's you take on that fifth, you inherit. Because otherwise, if you're slow at that, means generally speaking for us it won't be slow, but it's pointing out because it is a possibility. Haridas Thakur says if you think I'm a great devotee or I'm guru of devotees, you can get stuck at this before prema for hundreds of lifetimes. You know, you'll be in your spiritual body, you'll be in the spiritual world, you'll be there, but you won't quite be there. You know, almost there. Haridas Thakur mentioned.
I thought it was
Harinam Chintamani.
I've been saying it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur quoting Haridas Thakur, so either one is good. Don't worry, you're okay.
I'm not kicked out.
You don't have to go out and, you know, how you say, stand up in public, denounce yourself, and then shoot yourself. No, you don't have to do that. So.
Probably other reasons for me to do that.
That's a difference. That's a difference. That's not on the table.
Just, no, okay, for now.
So, Maharaj, just to clarify that point, which touched on it, that we're not going to become something we are not. It's impossible.
Yes.
So, when Prabhupada says inherent nature,
yes,
then the whole insecurity about, you know, who we're going to be and this and that,
yeah,
we're not going to become something we are not. It's not.
Yes, and we won't be something that we're not satisfied with, because if we are who we are. Just like, let us say there's the person, they always want to make it with the cool kids and all this and that, and it's just not working out. When they just relax and are comfortable with themselves as something alternative, then they're happy. Mm. You know? So that's the point, is that whatever is your position, you'll be happy there because that's your inherent nature. Not that you can't change it, but the point is why would you? Like that. So the thing is you don't have to worry. You will be satisfied because that's your specific, your unique relationship with Krishna.
Because in that kind of argument, there's a contradiction that, you know, if we're eternal, you know, how can we change? Means the nature is not eternal.
No, it means we have the thing, but the point is because you're dealing with Krishna, anything's possible. But the point is why wouldn't you be satisfied with what is natural? So you don't have to worry. You know, because a lot of times what we're worried about is it's actually technically something of prestige.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that you want to be the top. You know, and so but the point is Krishna is satisfied with everybody. How much of discussion when you think of Vrindavan, then he's, you know, publicly he's the son of Mother Jashoda, son of Nanda Maharaj, you know, the prince of Vrindavan, the, you know, what do you call it, that's a Vrajajanarantana, right, like that. But if we say he's Gopinath, okay, that's a little more inside, but the point is the prominence is all these other things. These are on the side, because that's the whole point, is they're hidden. So, you know, what do we mean by prestige? You know,
a prestige in the material world means you're trying to get the top.
Yes, but then the point is that even that is based on what is your nature. You're not going to get higher than what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just the speculation, the possibility.
Yes, of course. Yeah, and but then the problem is people will speculate that on and on. So one has to surrender to Krishna. It's not a matter of prestige, because the prestige is about ourselves. We're not surrendering. We surrender to Krishna, it's just we want to please him. And we may be attracted by a particular service, a particular devotee, so like this, we would like to be able to serving our spiritual master, you know, assist these devotees. But how we'll be assisting and all that, that's another thing. Like Dhanishta, she's assisting in the pastimes. It's like when she clears Krishna's plate, like that, now, who's going to be watching? Right? Krishna's there. His father's there, the other uncles are there, all the main cowherd boys, Madhu Mangal's right there, Sridham, you know, all of them are all there, eating and laughing and joking and all that. But who's out in the wings? Right? You know, Radharani, her group, then the other groups, you know, they're all there. They're all watching. So the thing is when the plate comes out, then there's going to be a whole thing, and you know, how it's divided, this and that. So is that going to work? No, because then everybody's equal. And as we know, that the equity, fraternity, liberty is not actually a major point in the spiritual world. Down here, yes, because the rat bagness of here. But over there, everything's perfect. So now it's about, you know, when you're dealing with the feminine, it's about the exclusiveness, the uniqueness. So that means when she picks up the plate, she has to be able to take something very special from the plate and catch it in her hand, you know, because you're going to pick up the plate, you catch that and pick up the plate. So people see the plate. You put down the plate, everything's cool. Right? And then, where does that go? That goes to Radharani. So, how integral that is, how can she do that? She's just the servant. She's in Dasya Rasa. So she'll be trusted to do that. She's a lady, she's elders, like that. She'll be, you know, okay, they'll leave her alone. Anybody else is doing all the tricks, check her claw, check this and that, where's everything? You understand? So the whole point is everybody has their place in here, and it's unique and it's special. And they're being able to please, you know, Radha and Krishna is there. But we make it out, no, unless I'm doing this, then it won't. But, oh, I was just needing that. Oh no, it's just in that quote that he showed us this morning. He showed on the computer just the lines before it. It says that individuals, you know, think that, you know, it's about, you have to do, it's something about individuals thinking that unless I'm doing something, you know, how you say, unless I do it myself, that no. This was in the 88th chapter. Krishna saves Lord Shiva. You know, he gives that stupid benediction to Vrikasura.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So he's talking about he demands to see Lord Shiva. While the devotees, they know that by offering, then they please Krishna. But this is unless I see him. They have to get it themselves, take it themselves. So this whole thing is, no, I have to. You know, it's like before was, you had the Bajaris, they bathe the deities, everyone watches. No, unless I bathe the deities, I don't get the mercy. It's not actually, you know, it's taken, oh, that's advanced, it's, you know, you know, that kind of, no, it's just that attachment, unless I do it, I don't get the benefit. You can't, the subtleties.
I'm the doer.
Yeah, I'm the doer, so it actually comes from the lower nature, it's not actually from the higher. Like that. So one thing that I want to would like to do that service, and there's the opportunity, you take it. But now it's kind of like everyone's got to be in there. It's like you get out to Sasadar, and there's guaranteed there's going to be someone who's not any taller than 4'2". Besides, he's got to touch that, right? You watch every time when we put up the Sasadar. At one point, the Sasadar goes like that. That's that guy. You know, and then there's some, you know. You know, and then it goes back up. Like that, you know. You know, and if you've been watching 20 years ago, then you would have actually seen the guy go flying out into the audience. But you know, that doesn't happen anymore.
He doesn't come anymore.
No, no, he comes. Okay. You just don't do that anymore.
Okay.
Yes, progress. So.
Where the whole congregation is doing the Abhishek.
Yeah, yeah. There's no need for that. See, Jagannath Temple doing that, that's unique basically in India. And just like touching the feet of the deity is unique to Pandharpur. Mm. So, but we take it that, oh, it's done there, then everybody can do it. No, there's no need for that. It's not the standard. The standard is pujaris do, everyone watches. Because as soon as you have everyone get up there, you lose the mood because everyone's not doing kirtan, everyone's not focused. They're moving around, trying to get in there, see what they can do. They got in once, can they get in again, this and that. You know, can they sneak the line? Oh, hey, who's more superior? Who's more, you know, hey, I've been standing here so long and I'm superior to these guys who went like that. Yeah, but you showed up later. No, but I'm taller and, you know, it's crazy. Now, not as much, but before we had to have somebody there actually checking if they had a thread. Because otherwise, the really enthusiastic ones from, you know, a place north of the Volga, then they would just come in and they didn't care. Because in their temples, you don't have to be second initiated to do, you know, anything. Yeah, like that. You know, it says, hey, it's a, you know, second initiation. You know, it's like, what? Yeah, so. Yeah, it means because one point, the devotee who gave for the deities here, Radhamadava and some of the other things, Radhisham Tulsan. So then he also, in inspiration, when Harikesh was there, you know, there and the preaching opened in Russian, how unique it was, he donated for 100 sets of Gornitai deities, marble, you know, so they're not small. So then they went there, and instead of them going out as the places are, you know, up to the standard, they just went out. And then every temple had a set of Gornitai deities, so uninitiated devotees were doing the puja and stuff. Aribal.
Yeah, there's a whole culture among the Russians of very interesting deity worship.
Yes, that's a whole another week of discussion. Please don't start that one. We would rather.
I gave a seminar in London for some Russians about deity worship. The questions that came up were like, wow, interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Yes. So what do you call it? Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just declared war against him. He offended the nation.
Yes.
No, it was very interesting.
No. You have to know how to do it. Do you have Danish jokes about Danes that are told by Danes?
Yes.
That's the method.
That's the method.
You cross it. If it's German jokes by Danes about Germans, yes, that crosses the line.
That's the problem.
Okay, you have to understand that.
Yeah, that's true.
So in other words, it's out of affection that you're saying all these things.
Yeah, I mean, I was
No. You guys can work it out afterwards like that. You know, we're going to move on here. Yes, thank you. Because that's why he said, don't get into this, because it'll just keep going. You know, how you said. So that's the whole point, is that one doesn't have to worry, because every position is special and unique. Every devotee has something that they do that's unique. And that adds to the pastime. It's all, of course, you can say it's all within all qualities and all that of the Surup Shakti. But that's the point. We're a part of that. So there's something that's generic about us that we can fit in with everybody else. But there's something unique that's special in our interaction with the pastimes. So one doesn't have to worry that there's something missing. And it's not like, oh, will I be able to get it? You know, it's like you're dealing with eternity. So even if now and again you're the prominent one, you know, in eternity, it doesn't matter, because that will, you'll be the prominent one regularly over eternity. So that way then one just focuses on that mood, because that's what Shravana Dasa is that hearing about that mood, trying to imbibe that mood of full surrender, because that's what makes the Brajbasis Brajbasis. Then within that, there's the uniqueness of five main flavors of within that. And then within that, there's breakdowns and everything like that. So that's the whole point is that they're all... That one's the first one to catch. Then Varna Dasa is then adjusting with that and then how one fits into that. So sometimes it's thought, well, I have to go for Varna Dasa first. No, it's actually you have to go for Shravana Dasa first. Because unless you understand the generic mood, how do you understand the specific mood? Right? You know, if you can't drive a car, then how are you going to drive a Ferrari? Right? You know, so that's the whole thing. You can drive a car, then it's this is the mood. Like that. So then it works very nicely. It's very natural and everything like that. So if you focus on that, then there's no anxiety. But because it's thought you have to focus on Varna Dasa first, it's not understood which is which. It's generally thought that what you're doing in Varna Dasa is it's the other way around. I'm focusing on that specific thing of that particular devotee, and then I'm adjusting. No, you're adjusting with the Braja mood. Then you are working with how do I fit into it. Like that. So it's not quite, these two get switched sometimes. And so because of that, then it's there, it's that anxiety can come up. But if one understands, no, gets that mood of the Brajabasis, then that anxiety won't come up because it's one group. Like that. So. Okay, yam yam vapi smarad pavam, tyajan tyante kalivaram. Everything is examined at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one can take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. In other words, the body being temporary can be used as the method to learn what can be then applied in the final test that can then qualify you to go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know, in other, basically speaking like this, high school itself may be absolutely useless, but its usefulness is by using it, you can get yourself into college where you might learn something. Right? Is that you know, that's the whole point. So at the same time, the material body is useless, but by applying it in connection with the transcendental position, devotional service, then you can come to the point of transferring yourself to the spiritual world. So that's why enough emphasis is given to it to maintain it so that you can apply it in devotional service, but not so much we get distracted and don't involve ourselves nicely in devotional service. Yes?
We have said that's the difference between karma and jnana. Karma gives too much emphasis, jnana gives too little emphasis on that.
Yes, you could say. Like that. Yeah, in other words, karma overemphasizes the senses while jnana underemphasizes them. But bhakti means whatever is necessary, that's how much it's applied.
Like that.
Sorry?
Middle path.
Yes, yes.
Also, yeah. In 11th canto, Krishna says that those who are not too attached to the material body and not too disgusted by the material,
yes,
they qualify for bhakti.
Yes, because if you're too disgusted, you can't actually use everything in Krishna's service. And if you're too attached, you also can't use everything in Krishna's service. Yeah, good point. That's the nice thing. 11th canto kind of like sums it up really very exactly. you know, it's at that point, all this technical stuff we're going through now, at that point we'll see that it makes it very clear exactly what's the position. Because then we'll be able to understand it very well. Because now somebody's confusing on points and all that. At that point it's all very clear, then you know exactly what's the balance and everything like that. But,
isn't that the Yukta Vairagya principle is related to the element of need and not to the element of want? Because what devotees think is exactly what they connect the want to the Yukta Vairagya.
But that's where the beginning is. See, because you have these two are connected, because if you're talking about the, in these elements, Yukta and Vairagya, those are both mentalities. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have the Yukta aspect, you have the Vairagya aspect. So when we talk about prajumna, now prajumna means that you're going to be the interest in it, you know, the desire. Then contemplating that, there'll be a need, right? So we have interests and needs that are not actually connected to Krishna. So therefore, taking that need and connecting that to Krishna, that's where you begin the process. But after a while it comes is that my interest is just in pleasing Krishna, so the need is just pleasing Krishna. Therefore, whatever can be connected to Krishna in the situation that's favorable for serving Krishna, I will do that. You know, in other words, let us say, okay, Prabhupada's sitting in Vrindavan. Okay, then, he takes a bath by bathing in the Jamuna. Okay? But when you're in New York on 26 Second Avenue, that's not really an option. So therefore, he uses the shower or the bathtub or whatever works. You understand? But the point is why are you doing? One, you're remembering the Lord, the cleanliness, all the different things like that, because it's just one of the things you do. All the residents in Vrindavan, they all take bath in the morning, including Radha and Krishna. You know, so it's just part of the process, being clean, fresh, new for the day. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, then that Yukta Vairagya means taking something that's below standard and connecting it to Krishna. Right? But the consciousness on the highest level. The other one is our consciousness on a lower level. What we're connecting to Krishna is below standard because that's what we prefer. You understand? So that's will be the difference. So it's just a matter of, that's what's so perfect about the bhakti system, is that it will accommodate from shraddha up to prema in one process. The form of it does not change. Right? We sometimes think, no, rag means it changes, but it doesn't. It doesn't change. Does that make sense? That's it. We think, oh no, there's a change in the process. No, it's the same thing. It just becomes. That's why the example is given by the acharyas, is just like Raganuga Bhakti is like a wife with a paramour. Right? Now, if a wife has a paramour, how does she do her duties? Is she slacking them? No, she's more expert. So that means it's difficult to tell someone in Rag Bhakti, because actually their Vaidhi is actually even better than those who are on the platform of Vaidhi. So you'll think that they're more of just a regular sadhaka than the other person. You'll think definitely this not. This whole thing is where it's obvious, oh, this guy's into Raganuga Bhakti. That's not what the acharyas talk about, because then you get caught. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that if people know about it, means it's how are you saying? It's not what's recommended. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's all. Okay.
Nobody on Raganuga would ever say you don't have to follow the rules.
No, they'll never say. They're the ones that follow the best. That's why the Madhyamas are the preachers. They're following it. They set the example. They get others to follow because they know the value of it. That's why they can preach it so nicely. So they know is these are the things that are recommended, this is what it can do. But if you drop it down into the... See, neophytes take up the Madhyama mood and practice as though the realization may not be there, because that's where the preacher's point... But if you drop the preacher's point down to the neophyte, then it goes by, it's laissez-faire, whatever anybody's into, whatever you feel like, and this and that. And then they take it, well, that's rag, but that's whimsical. You know, it is attachment, But it's attachment not the transcendental, it's attachment on this side. But because it gives feelings, we, oh no, it's you know, because that's the thing, the modern is about feelings, and bhakti is about feelings, and so, hey, I can use the modern and worship Krishna, because the...
So it's yukta, but not by Raja.
Yeah, so that means that it's... The word has a common meaning, so we take it that A and C are equal. But actually, here is it can mean it means material or it means spiritual. So material and spiritual aren't equal. So the logic doesn't work. So does that make sense? Yes.
Can we say that before Baba, our emotions and feelings are not very to be taken very seriously?
We don't worry about them. It means they there or not there, don't worry about them. Because it's only at Ruchi that then the symptoms that are manifesting are, you could say, like minor forms of Baba. It's said that Baba extends down into Ruchi and Ashanti. Like that. So you'll be getting that aspects that you'll be getting there. But the point is they won't be full. It's only when it's full, it's called bhava. Full meaning that it's the bud of prema. But it's only when the flower opens, then we call it prema. You know? So you always have to, when something's there, it's the highest of something, but it may be lower of the next one. You know? So always there's something more to go. Yes.
So among bhavas, is the bhava that we're talking about, is it a sthayi bhava?
Yes, because if you're in your sarup, that is according to the form is and the situation is according to the sthayi bhava. It's just a matter of developing the sthayi bhava. So the point is we're in that position, but we're not taking advantage of it. So that's the whole thing, is we're separating the Lord and His energies, and we're just seeing the energies in connection with ourselves. So even though we're in the position, we have those different things, we don't actually have the proper attitude. So even though we're in the neutral state, then we're not taking it forward. So from the neutral state, then we go, you know, shift into the material. But the position is the same. It's just a matter from, because it's like getting a running start. You know, you're starting from one point and then starting up, it may be slow, but if you're already moving when you get there, then it...
Yeah.
So we've already heard about going, so we're practicing. So when we get to that point, we already have an understanding of what it is, so we'll just continue forward.
Yeah.
So those that did continue forward, they remained in the spiritual world. Those that didn't continue forward and went backwards, that's us. So we're here now. By moving forward, we'll just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it said that everyone will go back to Godhead. So the point is at some point everybody gets there and everybody moves through it up to prema. So it will happen. So if the more we're focused on it, the quicker it happens. Okay. So that's the point. Okay. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one can take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. Upanaya. So that, like, you know, resolves that. Mm-hmm. Or that's the example, right? Upanaya is the example, or upanaya is bring near.
Bringing near.
Okay, so that's so. In other words, the body is a problem, but by using it in Krishna's service, you know, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, then that resolves the problem. So it brings it to that perfectional platform. Mm-hmm. Sukacharya continued. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. You know, therefore, if you're disgusted with the material, it's also you can't function with it. It means you're disgusted with the concept of material life. But if you're disgusted with the details of it, then that's the problem. It means then how do you work with it? Srila Prabhupada comments, in this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami says, One who rejects things without knowledge of their relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. So we say, oh, you know, we chant, it doesn't, we don't have to do these things. But what's the relationship between that and Krishna? So if you don't know that, the renunciation is incomplete. So that's the thing. So especially this applies to those who follow the Vedas and renounce things that could be used in Krishna's service. That's its main thing. But within us, the finer points is that we may be renouncing things that can be used. That's within our the context of our duties. But we're not using them because, oh, that's all Maya. You know, it's like I remember one householder for years trying to get him to appreciate and understand that taking care of his wife's emotional needs was part of the package. He says, no, I've read all the Prabhupada's books. I have not found it anywhere.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he wasn't that successful. So that's the whole point, is that you're too detached from it, so you can't engage it. The point is that, you know, it's either going to be all or nothing. So here it's no. If you're neutral, then you can engage anything. Or you can not engage something. Something that by attachment you like to engage, but it's not recommended, then you don't, because you're not attached. Right? So does that make sense? So that's the balance, is that when neither has that attachment or that, that's what it said. What was the point? Sadhu said the benediction for the sannyasi.
To the devotee, you either live or either die.
Yeah, you can live, you can die, either one. Like that. Because he's not looking to die, he's not looking to live. He's just looking to serve. So if he's alive, he'll serve. If he dies, he'll go back to Godhead, he'll serve. So that's the position, that's the actual position of Yukta Vairagya. Like that. You had something there?
No.
Okay.
So can we say that jnanis are an example of this
fulbu vairagya? Yes, jnanis would be, because they give up engaging the senses when their senses could actually be a source of liberation. So they're only taking giving up engaging the sense. In other words, you engage the senses with attachment, then you're bound. So their point is therefore give up using the senses, which they can't do completely, but they do to as much as they can. But so that's improper. Because at one point you see them, they come back to the point of philanthropy and altruism. So that means, again, about senses, giving clothes, giving food, giving, being nice, you know, all these different things. It's, again, engaging the senses. You know, like that.
Can we say that in the beginning, it is better that some things should be renounced?
If you can't engage them in Krishna's service, then better to detach yourself from them. That's the idea of brahmacharya, is that you can't deal with women without attachment. Detach yourself from them until you come to that point you can.
And some things should not be given up prematurely also.
Because if you do, then you'll go nuts. So that's the point. In other words, the point is, are you going to get distracted? So if I use this one thing that I'm so attached to and I get distracted, then what's the point of engaging it? And if I give up using this thing, though it may not be ideal, but if I give it up, then I won't be able to serve Krishna, then what's the point? So one has to balance, but one has to be honest about it. And because as you do devotional service, knowledge and detachment come. So that means that detachment from whatever it is you're attached to will come. Like that, and the knowledge about it. But if you're attached to it and cultivate that, that attachment will remain, and you won't get free from it. That's it. Yeah. Okay. So that's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1266. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, Prapanchi kataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. So the false renunciation means something that should be used is not, you know, in renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree, from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin, Om Iti Satyam. The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Right? So this is this point we're thinking, oh yeah, no, it's straightforward, but this is a very crucial technical point within the, you know, the whole philosophy, is that the whole point of the balance between the use of the external energy in Krishna's service. Right? That is a point. So that's where the karmis take it too far one way, the jnanis take it too far the other way. Like that. So the bhaktas are only able to balance this properly. Yes.
So this is the position of a madhyamadhikari, because obviously kanishtha, they can't balance.
Yes, it's always a problem. They're either too weak, or rationalizing, or you know, something like that, or not even aware that that's there, and, you know, whatever. As long as they're enthusiastic, you know, it's fine. But the point is, if the mood's right, one can move from that neophyte to the muddy platform quite quickly. But if the mood's not right, and you feel it's my right to do this, then you won't move on. In other words, as soon as you talk about rights, you're not right. It means that you're right. It means that the point is, and the funny part is then when it actually comes to rights, they're not actually into it. Like it says, you have a right to perform your duty.
Yeah.
So no one can take that away from you. Now let's say you have a preacher and he's preaching. You can't take away that he preaches.
Yeah.
You know, that's... I did that. Yes. So
preaching.
Yes, preaching. Yes. Okay. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Or a householder, being a householder. You know, whatever is the position, a manager is a manager. Like a manager would mess up, Prabhupada would still, he purifies himself by managing. And if there's something too distracting, Prabhupada would then keep him with him, give him good association until, you know, by that service he purifies and matures, that he can then go back and then continue in that thing. But us is, oh, you made a mistake, you're out. Then that, the whole point is, but it's your right. No one can take that away from you. Yes.
So here in this story, we see the conflict of interests. Because Bali Maharaj, he's performing his duties on several levels.
Yes.
And then Shukracharya instructs him, but on just on that level.
Yes. So Shukracharya is doing his job on his level, but he's not catching that Bali Maharaj is working on a higher level. Even if he does catch he's working on a higher level, because Shukracharya is not on that higher level, or prefers not to work on that higher level, therefore he's recommending his level quite strongly.
Yeah, so my question, is it sinful if we try to stop somebody from performing their duties?
You could say basically yes, unless there's some way that in the performance of that duty that is going to distract them from Krishna consciousness. Just like Krishna, so, means you perform an activity, you should get a particular result according to karma, but you're not getting it. Because that means there's something that would be distracting to devotional service, or by doing that you'll go deeper in devotional service. So in other words, it'll either keep you from going backwards, or it'll take you forwards. So in any case, it's a better position than you might get or not. That's the whole point of Krishna karma. It looks like it's karma, but it's actually not. Krishna's in control of it. So then what's going to be better for your advancement in Krishna consciousness, that's what's going to happen. You know, you can use it nicely, things come. You won't use it nicely, nothing comes. By not having anything, you'll be more surrendered to Krishna, and you'll set an example for others how to deal with that and be Krishna conscious. That. So any of these things will work. So we'll see with Bali Maharaj, all of that will happen. You know, you'll get them. You know, as a Mahajan, then the whole range, just like with, you know, all these great personalities, you see. Palat Maharaj, then, you know, everything comes. He's the king of the whole thing. So he's the grandfather, now he's retired, now his grandson is running everything. Like that. But, you know, he was the king of the demons for a while. You know, he was the big shot. Then, you know, but before he kind of had nothing. You know. know. I mean, unless you count the bottom of an elephant's foot as something, that, you know, like that. Yahad Gi, you know, how you say, some free fall off of,
base,
you know,
jumping.
Yeah, base jumping without, you know, without your standard security.
You know. Extreme sports.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
This is the point about making the best of a bad bargain.
Makes the best of a bad bargain, okay?
And this reminded me of how in light of Bhagavad, Sri Prabhupada says that devotee, advanced devotee, he is feeling his body to be separated from himself. It's like a coconut when it's ripened, like the whole internal stuff and covering it separates from the fruit. In the same way, the pure devotee is actually, he is in the body, but
separate from it.
Yes. This is the point of not identifying.
Yes. Means you're there, you use it, but you don't identify with it. Just like, let us say you get something new and you're really attached to it, but it's something that's supposed to be practically used. How well can you practically use it? Right? It's difficult because you're so attached, you don't want to disturb it, you got the new car, somebody leans on, you come over and buy you. No one can do anything, you know. Don't sit, don't this, don't that, don't touch that, don't, you know, nothing. So they can't use it because they identify with it. Or the person who doesn't identify with it but knows what it is, they can use it very nicely. Yeah, that's the point. You can't remove it. In other words, when you're in the, what is it, Jiva Goswami saying about in the destruction of the material consciousness, doesn't you destroy the forms and rules and regulations that you're engaging in the Lord's service? Does that make sense? Because the point is if you destroy the body, there's just the soul. Now what? Right? So the point is the body is what you're using. Until you have the spiritual body, then the material body is what you have.
Previously was mentioned about super senses.
Super senses, yeah. So they're using their senses in the service of the Lord. So they're using their original spiritual senses. But it's just so that's another reason, because it's not that senses aren't here, but it's just it's not that important. You know, it's just like the kids are out in the backyard and they're taking mud and leaves and putting it together and, you know, making all kinds of wonderful things, you know, strawberry kitchery and strawberry pakoras and, you know, strawberry everything. You know, like that. And so as an adult, are you attracted? You want to sit down there and eat? No.
They would be in ecstasy if you are.
Yeah, but the point, you're not. Why? Because it's not, so that's the point, that's the meaning, is that the senses are engaged, but beyond, so they're not interested in something lesser. You know, we're taking, now they're gritting their teeth and all that, and, you know, Goswami's there, it's almost midnight, you know, and one of them's telling the other, you know, hey, you know, I'm so tired, wake me up in 30 seconds, and, you know, and they're writing, they're nodding off. No, there's not, they're just so absorbed, they forget to sleep. It's not that they feel tired, they just forget. You know, and then it's daytime, and then, hey, you know, it's just another day. Mm-hmm. Like that. There's another day, another Shastra. Right? The swan race. Does that make sense?
Nobody imitates that part.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Strangely enough, no one goes for that part. Yeah. Okay, the purport is that the activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, right? The activities performed, they give the spiritual result. You're working with the temporary, but it gives the eternal result. Mm-hmm. Although performed by the temporary body, indeed such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for, because the body is temporary, not permanent. One cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. Mm-hmm. So it's not, oh, we only care, we don't care. Mm-hmm. No, the point is this is what you have. It's Krishna's. You know, it's just like you have a nice Artic lamp for Krishna's that, oh, we don't care, and we should wash it, don't wash it, keep it, don't keep it. The guy that just walked in that we've never seen before walks off with it. What can we do? You know, Krishna's in control. No, like that. You're supposed to use it, take care from him. It's Krishna's. So the body is Krishna's, but it's only because it's Krishna's, and we can use it for Krishna's service. That's why we take care nicely. But it's only how nicely that particular body needs to be taken care of. Right? So different bodies in different situations are better, less... That, you know, we're all sitting here all wrapped up. You saw the other day that said, you know, how you say that French gentleman came there, or Italian or whatever he was.
Yeah.
Like that, he's sitting there in his shirt and a muffler. And the muffler was only because of the French aspect. Otherwise, he would not have had the muffler. Was it just for looks, right? Because it's the thing to wear, you know? Like that. He's perfectly fine. We're sitting here wearing everything we got, and then he's just there in a shirt. So for him, and it wasn't that he looked cold or anything. I mean, he was just cool. You know, I mean, it's just, he was good. Yeah. Literally. Yeah.
So it's the matter of perception?
No, it's just a matter of what is needed. You know, like Bhishma, Abhima, he needs more to eat. You know. And Kunti and Draupadi, they need less. So, you know, it's just whatever is necessary for that particular body. Like that. So he's not falsely renounced and just... Like, I remember once they did it just for impressing, because the brahmacharis were used to be so impressed by renunciation that I think was... Some sannyasis came to the temple, and then, you know, they greeted, you know, there, washed their feet and all that. Then they bring out this huge maha plate with all the sweets, all, you know, everything that the brahmacharis would love to get. And then the, you know, the sannyasi just looks at it. I'm not even sure if they just, you know, took a tulsi, that's and take it away, like that. And the brahmacharis, wow, how renounced and everything. But... You know, who brought it was his own people, like that, because is that, you know, the new Brahmin, we didn't know what to do, so they took care of, you know, like that, we arranged the things. And then he said, take it away. They took it away to his room. But we didn't know that. I only heard about that later when I heard the sannyasi telling the story. He didn't know that I was in the town. He was telling the story about, yeah, one time we did, you know, they were talking about funny things they did to impress the brahmacharya. He told that story, and I said, wait a minute, I was there. Like that. Okay. So. Yeah. So. Yeah. So that.
It
that,
worked.
It worked. Like, whoa! These guys are. Yeah.
And the opposite, the Krishna Maharaj was supposed to be big as Brahmananda. That what Prabhupada said. He gave him instruction: you should become as big as Brahmananda. So he took it literally. And then he would eat all the maha plates. And after Prabhupada came, after a couple of weeks, he said, Prabhupada, I'm not going to be as big as Brahmananda. He said, what are you talking about? He said, after all this maha that I'm eating, I can only sleep. And I don't do any service, and I'm not getting any fat. He said, I told you to be as big a preacher as
Because the point is, Brahmananda doesn't have to eat like that to be Brahmananda.
Who is that?
Okay. Early
yeah.
Days.
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of funny, funny stories like that. Yeah, devotees would take what Prabhupada would say, and they would catch the secondary aspect and take it so literally, and then really go. But that's the point, is that commitment. Is the glory. So just by doing that, they'll make spiritual advancement because, yeah, it means devotion still work because then, you know, and then they find out what it means, so it actually means more to them. If they just said, be a big preacher, they'll try, but when this happens, then they even more understand. So then you see, he became a big preacher and everything like that. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in the next two verses, Sukracharya explains the bad qualities of truth and the good qualities of lying. Right, so because before he was talking about what's, you know, if it's not like this, it's not truth and it's untruth like that. Now he's showing the other things is that there are situations in which not telling the truth, it's not that it's that it's good, it's just not bad. It's, in other words, it's correct for the situation. It doesn't mean that the lying part is what's good. It's that you dealt with a situation so that there were no inauspicious results. Does that make sense?
So it's still Dharma.
It's still Dharma, yeah. No, he's quoting from Dharma Shastras, these things. Like that, Shukracharya, he's the, you know, said the greatest thinker. So he's not going to be saying stuff that's not scripture. Because to be a thinker means you're talking on scripture. thinking about scripture. So that. Sukracharya continued. The utterance of the word Om signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering this word, one becomes free from attachment to money because his money is taken away from him. Right? Because here, when we're dealing with Om Tat Sat, Om means the Lord, his internal potency, the jivas, their pastimes in the holy dham. That's what's included in Om. Right? Tat means that particular knowledge activities that are performed, and Sat means eternal position of something, existence of something. So with the utterance of Om, then the facilities you have in Sat seem to go away. in what he's describing here. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position, one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, by using the word Om, one becomes poverty stricken. So he's like, if you use it, then you'll lose these things, because then you follow the rules, all these things happen. Yeah? Especially when one gives charity to a poor man or a beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. So his point, giving charity to someone very elevated, then you've lost some money, but you gain back in the transcendental position or other aspects. But when you're giving charity to a poor man or a beggar, what you're giving is that's all you can get back. I give him a rupee, in the future all I can get back is a rupee. Like that. So, in other words, those things are taken care of, but that's not where the major focus on charity is. That's there. People are unfortunate, they're taken care of, but the main point of charity is for those who are actually benefiting human society. It means the devotional element. So, 41. Srila Prabhupada comments. Right, so you don't get self-realization because you're not getting back the benefit from worshipping the Brahmins, and you're not getting sense gratification because you're not going to get anything back from that, from worshipping the beggars, or respecting like that. Bali Maharaj wanted to give everything to Vamanadeva, who had appeared as a beggar. But Shukracharya, being Bali Maharaj's familial spiritual master in the line of seminal succession, could not appreciate Bali Maharaj's promise. Right, so before we're talking about his great position, he's revealing the Lord. That aspect was great, but now that he's pushing this point of not giving things to Vamanadeva, now he's being classified as the family guru in the seminal succession. Mm-hmm. So it's just they take care of the karmakanda aspects of family life. That's all. They're not taking care of the spiritual aspects. Mm-hmm. So he could not appreciate Bali Maharaj's promise. Sukracharya gave Vedic evidence that one should not give everything to a poor man. Rather, when a poor man comes to a charity, one should untruthfully say, whatever I have given you. I have no more. Because otherwise, the poor man wants unlimited amounts. You can't do that. You know, what can I give you? Whatever you want. Oh, I'll take your car and like that. And hey, can I have the house? I've never had a place to live and things like that. And so it's just that you give him what it is that you're able to give, and that's all there is. Because otherwise, why are they poor? You know, and this is because of misusing the material energy. In other words, if they don't have money, it's because they've misused money. So what does that mean? Their taste for money is unlimited. They're greedy. So therefore, now they have less money. So there's no way of satisfying a poor man with money. So it's just you take care of something so that it makes, you know, life goes on. That's why you don't want to give too much, because they're just in the money, they'll misspend it. Like that. Does that make sense?
So you won't actually help them.
So yes, you won't actually help. So something is there, but not too much. It is not that one should give everything to him. Actually, the word Om is meant for Om Tat Sat, the absolute truth. Omkar is meant for freedom from all attachment to money, because money should be spent for the purpose of the Supreme, right? Because Om is the Supreme. Right? The tendency of modern civilization is to give money and charity to the poor. Such charity has no spiritual value, because we actually see that although there are so many hospitals and other foundations and institutions for the poor, according to the three modes of material nature, a class of poor men is always destined to continue. So even the society has so much charity going, the poor people are still there. That's the point. There's always a class. So therefore, they're taken care of to a certain degree, but that shouldn't be where the main focus of charity is. Something is there. Should go in, be going into something else. So you even see is that for these people that give big amounts of charity, their biggest is not generally there. They give a lot there, but they generally give medical research, other things like that. Because that technically, though it's not, they're giving to Brahmins or medical, and that it is actually a higher. Though the realization of these Brahmins is not very great, but it's going to be more than the poor. But it should be those who are interested in spiritual life. That's where you get your greatest benefit from giving in charity. Even though there are so many charitable institutions, poverty has not been driven from human society. Therefore, it is recommended here. It's just like, what was the big thing about, I think, smallpox or something had been driven away, and then I think just recently some case of smallpox came up. Mm. You know, total freak out for, you know, it's been gone since, I don't know, 20s or 30s or something like that, so.
Chicken pox.
Oh, okay. It's another one. Smallpox. They're a little bit bigger than chicken pox.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you see people with those holes in their face.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
older, so they when they were kids, it was still around. So that was like eradicated. It was around, but someone told me the other day that there was a singular case of it coming up. You know, it didn't turn into an epidemic. It's not, you know, it's not like Ebola or something. Another light one.
Yeah.
Doesn't have that name.
No. Yeah.
Small.
Ebola.
Yeah, see, that's more modern. See, smallpox, that's old. You know, like that. You know, IPOX. Now that's okay. Now that's something that modern man could get into, right? Okay.
People standing in line to get it.
Yeah. Okay. Therefore, it's recommended here, Bhikshave Sarvam Om Kurvan Nalam Kamena Chatmane. One should not give everything to the beggars among the poor, because they'll still be poor, and then you'll be poor. So the thing is, you won't be able to do your duties, and they won't do your duties anyway. It's not that I give everything to them, and now they'll elevate themselves and do all. No, they'll just remain poor. Like that. So that's the... The best solution is that of Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is always kind to the poor, not only because it feeds them, but also because it gives them enlightenment by teaching them how to become Krishna conscious. Right? So you're giving something of value, food. And at the same time, it's prasad. And you're giving knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Right? That was the point. Is before, it was very obvious that we were giving prasad and we were devotees. And so, in that position, then this is what Prabhupada is talking about. When it morphed into just being like a charitable, like everybody else gives in charity, and then it's not known as ISKCON, it's not known as devotees, then it takes on that philanthropic kind of thing. And so it doesn't. You're not giving them Krishna consciousness. They're taking prasad, but you know the ducks get that benefit. They take prasad like this. So that might, okay, great, but why not give them the knowledge of Krishna consciousness along with it, so they know it's devotees, they know it's that, you know. Okay. And it gives them enlightenment by teaching them how to become Krishna conscious. We are therefore opening hundreds and thousands of centers for those who are poor, both in money and in knowledge, to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness and reform their character by teaching them how to avoid illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling, which are the most sinful activities and which cause people to suffer life after life, right? So these are the worst because these really entangle one. These are what creates the biggest elements of suffering, right? And these then, from this leads to everything else, right? The best way to use money is to open such a center where all may come and live and perform their character. They may live very comfortably without denial of any of the body's necessities, but they may live under spiritual control, and thus they live happily and save time for advancement in Krishna consciousness, right? So in other words, the body's healthy is going on. That's all that's necessary. We'll think, oh, so many more things are necessary. But no, just that much is necessary. So that much is what we'll provide. You want more than that, then the individual has to provide it themselves. That's the point. The temple, you have very simple lifestyle in that, then people can live there. They want more than that, no, they'll have to get it themselves. Like that. If one has money, it should not be squandered away on nothing. It should be used to push forward the Krishna conscious movement so that all human society would become happy, prosperous, and hopeful of being promoted back home, back to Godhead. Shukracharya continues, therefore, the safe course is to say no, although it is a falsehood. It protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others towards oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. Srila Prabhupada comments, beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing, and this may be very good for them because in this way they are assured of not losing their money and of always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned, right? You hear stories of guys in Calcutta, one old guy, beggar in the street, you know, people have seen him around for generations like that, and then he died one day, and they found within his, you know, that he always wore this coat when it was like some ridiculous amount of money. I mean, like, really ridiculous amount of money. Or I've been told about guys in London. They go to the spots, they go down and they beg or they busk or stuff like that. And then they walk a few blocks to the inside because you on a main road, you go into some of the inner streets where people don't go. He gets into his Mercedes and drives off. He makes so much more money doing that than he would, you know, doing something else. So that's the thing that we're talking about. When people are presenting themselves as poor, so you're getting that compassion, but actually they're not. That's not good.
So that's sinful.
That's sinful. Yes, it means you don't have, you need, then you get, then that's proper. But that you make it look like you have nothing. Always, you always, it means that here you don't have, but it's for that situation. But, you know, for others, then you have, then that's another thing. But here's, you always have, so that you're always in that position. Then that's also not proper. Yes, that's.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj that don't show compassion on this particular.
Yes, basically. In other words, you don't have that much. You know, it's like here, you know, take a basket of apples or something, you know, like that. You know, in charity, whatever he's giving, everyone else, they get their plate, they get their rice, they get their dhoti, they get their coconut, they get a few, you know, gold coins or something, and Hari Bal.
That is just because the beggar is God himself. He is not able to fulfill his promise. That was his understanding initially.
Yes, but because this beggar will take everything away from him. So that's the point, is that you can't give everything to a beggar, which on one sense, if they are a beggar, you don't give. But he's applying that position to the Lord because he's taking that aspect of beggar. So that's the difficulty. Like that. He doesn't catch that it's the Lord. He's someone you can give everything to. Okay. But this is also condemned. If one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing. Or, according to another interpretation, such a man is of falsity should be killed while still breathing. Point is you're not, you're not alive either way. You know. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. Ataitat. You get one of those things on there, you get the button where it says message. You should just have your message that says, you know, nice try or, you know, something like that.
My mom, she doesn't understand.
Oh, I see. So then write it in, you know, something language.
It doesn't matter. Just one button.
Okay. Oh, I see. You'd have to have a new one every time. It's a big, huge, long text or something.
It takes a while to read.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Ataitat purnam abhyat mam yan neti sayat sarvam neti bruyat papi kashya kirtir jayate shainam tat driva hanyat. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainam tat driva hanyat. So in other words, someone actually has nothing, they're out begging, then people can show that proper compassion and all that. You know, it's really hard when you just have people who are professional beggars, then what are you supposed to do? Right? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. But that way, then, if somebody actually is poor, then they beg, then giving to them, then, you know, until they can get themselves together, then that's what can you do? They're in a position they can't do better. So that would mean it would be someone who can't do more than that. So if it's only them, then having that group of beggars, then taking care of them, you can actually at least, you know, just maintain like that. It'll never get better because they can't. But the problem is those that can do better may even be doing better, but are presenting themselves as beggars like that. That class shouldn't be allowed. Just like those who you know, go out, and these, you know, professional guys on the street that do astrology and stuff like that, they're just cheating. You know, they got the parrot there, they pull the card, you know, all these stuff. They shouldn't be there. So that's one of the duties of the king, is clear the streets of all these kind of people. Those who are false, right? In other words, untruth should not be there. Someone should be performing their duties, right? You know, they want to present that they are a Brahmin, they perform their duties as a Brahmin, and in that they do astrological things, people give in charity. That's one thing. But just to go there in this way, just to basically make money, that's not allowed. Sukracharya concluded, in flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows in Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. Right? It means if that works, it's not condemned. It means it's not that, yes, no, this is that. It just means it's not condemned. It means this is what works. Right? It's not saying, yes, yes, you can tell. No, it's about, in these situations, it works.
Right? Whatever is needed, yeah.
Because they work. Because it's expected that that's what's going to do. You know, 10 guys with shotguns come into break into the house and say, okay, where's Ernie? You don't say, oh, he's in the bathroom. Yeah, or something like that. You don't say that. It says, Ernie who? Mm. You know, like that. That's what he's supposed to do.
In marriage ceremony?
Someone brought up that means, you know, saying that the groom is, you know.
I think it's in the purport.
Oh, it's in the purport. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this verse summarizes the conditions under which lying is permitted. One can lie to excite a woman in order to control her. One can lie as a joke, or in a wedding to praise the groom.
You'll do great.
Yeah, you look fabulous. What's a turban? That's so, you know.
That's going to be good for you.
Yes.
In South India, they say that for a wedding to happen, even you can lie 1,000 lies also, just to marriage to happen.
Yeah, that's there, but you have to, there's a point at which you don't. Yeah. Otherwise, it does run into problems. Yeah. One can lie to protect cows and brahmanas, and when someone is threatened with violence. Yajnavalkya says, Varninam hi vado yatra tatra sakshyantritam vadet. When a person of status is being killed, one should lie.
Which status? Person of status.
Means that someone, you know, it's not that you're, how you say? Someone in a position, something's happening, then you should, you know, tell some lies to get them to stop that activity. You know, you have two dacoits trying to kill each other, that you don't have to get involved. That you just keep walking. Like that. In other words,
have
you know,
fun, boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Same thing Vasudev used when Kamsa was trying to kill Devi on the marriage tree.
Yes, that's the exact same thing. He tells all kinds of things and that. And they figures, you know, we'll deal with these later. Like that. So it's just, you know, that's the natural point. Compassion is there. You just try to do something to keep it from, you know, that. Shruti says, Tasmat kala eva dadyat tat satyan rite mituni karoti. According to the time, one can speak truth or tell a lie, like that. But the point is in pursuance of what's the Vedic version, not in pursuance of modern. It's in pursuance of the Vedic, like that. Because the modern's already a lie, so you don't have to. So telling a truth within the modern context is already a lie. So it doesn't. Yeah. Okay.
He of losing material possession to death, like in this case, he says it.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, from that point it is. Yeah, because his point is he talks about, that's why he says uprooting the tree. Yeah, you could say it like that. Because then he won't have the facilities to continue on, so he won't be able to perform his duties, so everything's finished, because this beggar walked off with everything. Yeah, I mean, he knows it's the Supreme Lord. That's why he knows he can walk off with it. But he's not impressed with the devotional aspect of that surrender, so.
Madhya Maharaj, before, he also saw the Lord as Ajita, but he wasn't, but this particular situation.
Because now it's going to impact also on his life. Like that, that's the conclusion. The aim of the Varnashram divisions, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, time's up. Almost maybe. So is this a sign? They're upset. Why are you not finishing? What's going on here? We thought we'd finish all right. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda. But, you know, that'll go through smoothly with everybody, because it was that last verse of Śukracārya, that would have been a whole class in itself.
Final part of the evening class.
Yeah, otherwise, no. We would not have gotten through that.